At KPFT, volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization. Here's what they say about us.
When I volunteer at KPFT, sometimes I call out past people that support us with money. I got a guy who said KPFT was his life and soul. He was blind. He said he also spent 20 years in prison, but KPFT was his life and soul listening to the station.
Volunteer with us at KPFT. Call 713-526-4000, extension 3. We're waiting for your call.
Hi, this is Marina Rocks, and you're listening to KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and FM HD1.
Hearing Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch, and that tells us that it is 6 p.m. Wednesday and time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling. We are aired only on Houston's community station, KPFT 90.1 FM here in Houston, or kpft.org HD1 on the internet. I'm Mary Edgerton, tonight's host, and along with the best team on radio, we celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers whose stories take us on fascinating journeys before returning us safely to the present. Okay, as usual, I'm going to tell you I have a great treat for you, but I'm going to let you make that decision, even though I can't resist telling you I have a great treat for you tonight. So let's get started. First, let me mention that I am bringing together 9 storytellers. Sharon Eisner from Durham, North Carolina. Richard Munchkin from Las Vegas, Nevada. Ronna Levy from Brooklyn, New York. Sean Wellington hails from North Carolina also. Neshama Franklin from California. Andrew Shelfo from Massachusetts. Corey May from Iowa City, Iowa, Tracy Sterren from New York City, and Johan Pelletier from Montreal, Canada. In a moment, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about these storytellers and how they came together. Before we get through this show, I do need to tell you, my radio audience, that it can be challenging to bring together a group of 10 people whose time zones range across the United States, and to maintain the best of internet integrity with respect to sound. We overcame some technical difficulties during the show, and I apologize in advance for any loss of sound quality that you may experience. In the meantime, sit back, relax, and get ready to travel into storyland. So let's get started with some introductions and background. Many of you will remember my show with John Pelletier, the boxer. She talked about the 99 Second Story Grand Slam and shared some of her 99 Second Stories with us. Tonight, I am so pleased to introduce you to Sean Wellington, who is the organizer of the 99 Grand Slam. He has not only agreed to join us on So What's Your Story, but he has graciously brought on a number of the 99ers, if I might use that term. So, Sean, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to storytelling and about grit, true stories that matter?
Sure. And thank you for having me and the opportunity for everybody else. They'll speak for themselves. I am based in North Carolina, and I've been doing storytelling, this kind of storytelling, on and off for a good number of years. It was just an interest that I had. But when we locked down was when I decided to sort of go all in. The name Grit, True Stories That Matter is just a name I came up with. It just seemed to make sense. And it was just a group of people that would get together. And many of them are here right now. And it's almost 4 years later, which is really kind of cool. And in that time, we would have what we would call swap shops, which are akin to sort of masterminds to really get into the craft and the art of it. Various events, including the 99 Second Story Grand Slam, which will be sort of, you'll hear about those stories in a moment. I think we have a total of 9 of us here that'll tell stories and some other things. But the coolest thing is that we've all met, sometimes several times, in person. Flesh, Mary. Real meeting. Zoom is cool. So we've, at various times in various places, visit each other, sometimes for a show, for a story event, sometimes not. So I think that, as much as anything else, is like the wow moment of what started as a kind of little thing in my kitchen in March of 2020, and here we are.
Wow, Sean, you have inspired me. I'm going to make it a goal to meet each of you in person, and I love to travel. So, well, thank you for telling us some about the history of this and really how storytelling can unite a community. Would you like to bring on the first 99 Second Storyteller?
I would be honored. Thanks, Mary. Our first, let's call him 99er, coined by Mary, by the way, and that's going to stick, is from Durham, North Carolina. She is a friend predating Grit. And she is in her car. That was supposed to be a secret, but it's not a secret anymore. Because she's a busy woman. Please welcome Sharon Eisner.
Hey there.
Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
So you let me know when you want to start. No prelude.
Okay. Well, I'll start in a moment.
Oh, yes, you're driving. I can fix that.
No, I'm not driving. I'm parked.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I wanted to teach in prison for many years, and I finally got the job, and it was so exciting. The students were incredibly motivated. They wanted to change their lives through education, and I was so happy to be a part of it. They were participating, they were working hard, but one of my students never, ever spoke up in class. And what was weird about that was he did really well on quizzes and tests, but whenever I asked him a question in class, he just said, I don't know, and waited for someone else to answer. So I was wondering why, and I got to class one day and I decided to try a different strategy. So I said, okay, what about this question? You know, and I called on my friend Dylan, and he said, as usual, I don't know. And I said, you know, Dylan, I think you do know. I believe in you, and I think you know the answer because I see that you know it on the quiz. I see that you understand the work. So we're just going to take our time, and we're going to look at our notes and our books, and we're just going to wait for you to have the answer. And I don't mind if it's correct or incorrect, but I want you to try. And I believe you can do it. And the whole class is silent. And some of the other students are looking at me with wide eyes. And one guy said, Professor Eisner, he never participates. And I said, well, there's always a first time, and we're waiting, and it's 40 seconds and it's a minute. And I'm just starting to think, oh God, what did I do? When Dylan speaks up hesitantly and he says the answer, and it is the right answer, and he explains it. And I said, good job. Well done. I knew you could do it. And his friends are laughing and slapping him on the back, and he's smiling. And when class is over, I walk everyone out and I come back to my desk, and there is a torn piece of notebook paper on my desk, folded in half. And I open it up and it says, Dear Professor Eisner, that was the first time anyone has ever told me they believe in me. Thank you, Dylan.
I don't know whether to smile or cry, from the sadness that no one had ever believed in him, and cry from the joy that you brought that to him. And I have to say, I am a great fan of, to make up a word, restorative programs.
Yes.
What a waste of humanity, and what a tragedy the 1990s vision of three strikes and you're out of society.
Right.
Has turned into.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to teach in prison, is because I think when someone is defined by their lowest moment, it's very hard for them to regain their sense of self and their belief that they can be a positive influence on others and can have a beautiful, positive life after prison. So I was so happy to hear about this Second Chance initiative, which brings education to prisoners who behave very well and ask for it and deserve it. And it has lowered recidivism tremendously. The rate of recidivism in the United States at this time is around 65%. And if you get a 2-year college degree, that goes down considerably. And a 4-year college degree, it goes down to 5%. So being part of that program means a lot to me.
Okay. I think that when I retire, and I live not far from a state prison in Texas, when I'm in Texas, is maybe I'll volunteer. I think that could be a wonderful experience. I also happen to know two physicians who have spent their careers working at clinics in jails. And they're remarkable people in how they take care of their prisoners, and I say their prisoners, the prisoners, and how they can reach out to them. So that's great. So would you please, Sharon, introduce the next storyteller?
Absolutely. The next storyteller is my good friend, Richard Munchkin. He is from Las Vegas, and he is one of the first three members of the SWAP community of storytellers. Richard Munchkin.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm sitting up in bed reading a magazine article about one of the world authorities on global warming, Madonna. And I turn to my wife and I say, it says in this interview that Madonna pees in the shower because it's saving one flush of the toilet, and that's going to help with global warming. And my wife says, yeah, everybody does that. And I say, what do you mean everybody does that? I don't do that. I'm everybody. And she says, if you don't pee in the shower, then you're the one that's weird. And the next day, I'm in the shower, and I look down at my feet, and I realize my wife has been peeing on my feet for 30 years, and I'm disgusted. And then I look at the drain, and I'm thinking, like, how would you even do this? Like, do I have to aim exactly, like, between the holes in the drain, and what's going to prevent it from splashing on me? And now I'm peeing on my own feet, which I would never do. And this whole idea just revolts me. And I stick my head under the warm water, and I close my eyes, and I start to relax. And I just think, oh, what the hell? And I just let it go. And oh my God, it's fantastic. my whole body just relaxes. And I'm thinking, this is like there was some great party that was going on for all these years and nobody ever told me about it or invited me to it. So now I will admit I am a shower peer, but I am not embarrassed because me and Madonna are saving the planet one flush at a time.
Oh, gosh. You know, that is so wonderful and so timely for me because my oldest child, and I call him my child because I raised him since he was seven, and my stepson came with his two boys to visit me. And I had raised two girls. So they just sit in the bathtub and do their thing. Now, these two boys, the older one, the first thing he did when he stepped into the bath was just stand up and pee. And I said, oh, my God. And then at one point, the younger one does the same thing. And I'm looking at Justin, you know, my son, with my eyes wide open. And he says, yeah, they do that. And I said, I'm going to need to wash my hands.
There you go. You have your own 99-second story.
Hey, and you know, thank you. And you know what? I have to let him know that they are saving the planet. And with the boys together in the tub, two flushes at a time.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, Richard is always wonderful. And can you introduce our next storyteller?
Absolutely. Our next storyteller comes from Brooklyn, New York. It is Rana Levy.
Thanks, Richard. I haven't even gotten out of bed yet, and I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I see a post from a former classmate, and that classmate posted a tribute video about another classmate, Shane Carney. Now, Shane was a passenger on American Airlines Flight 11 out of Boston that hit the towers. Now, okay, there have been tributes to Shane, but this video? I never hung out with Shane in high school. I mean, I never saw her at football games, at parties, at the Dairy Queen. The only thing I remember is Shane used to take the ski trips to Austria with the school. We moved in very different circles. And then years later, I heard that Shane was in rehab for alcohol and drugs. And I thought, well, no surprise there. But I'm watching this tribute video and I see this beautiful, classy lady who'd been flying to Los Angeles to discuss her upcoming radio series called Spiritually Speaking. And then I learned that Shane was the chairman of the board of the Salvation Army in Boston, and her mission was to help others improve their lives. And then her husband's on the video, and he says that every morning Shane would create a gratitude list, and that morning on her list, she was grateful for safe planes. And her gratitude list is now hanging in the 9/11 Memorial Museum. And the soundtrack to that video is the 1970s band Bread. And they're singing, I would give everything I own just to have you back again. And I think about Shane. And I think about high school. And I'm thinking, I wish I would have said hey to Shane as we passed each other in the hallway.
Oh. And now that brings so many memories of a very difficult time to all of us.
Yeah.
I had lived in New York for many years, and then I was in Tennessee when 9/11 took place. And I'll share with you, I had just found out that my husband had been cheating on me for something like the past 5 years. And I had two little children, and I was devastated. And then with 9/11, I felt, oh, everything's falling apart. You know, my family is not what I thought it was. My safety, my country is not what I thought it was. But one thing that helped me stay with this marriage, at least for another 10 or 15 years when his penile alarm clock began ringing again, was I thought to myself, what about all those spouses who lost someone in the towers? What would they say to me? If I could have my spouse back, I would take them with all their blemishes. And that really helped me through that period of recovering our marriage. Hmm. So I love that the song that they played was, I would do anything to have you back.
Yeah, when I was watching that video, I was just getting goosebumps. And I actually started getting like, I'd say maybe crying or upset because I had this image of Shane in high school. You know, I had this image of her and never really thought much about her until I saw this video, and it was like, this wasn't the person, this alcoholic drug addict that I knew in high school. This was just this beautiful person, and it just made me think about what we, you know, as teenagers, how we think and look at people, and yeah.
Okay, I was just I'm just gonna say this, and then I'm gonna let it go back to y'all because y'all are the guests. I was just with a good friend of mine from high school, and I was mentioning somebody, and I said, you know, she's still just a mean girl to me, and maybe I need to go back and rethink that.
Yeah.
You have taught me something. Thank you.
Sure.
Would you like to introduce our next storyteller?
I would. And I get to introduce Sean Wellington from North Carolina. And as you mentioned earlier, Sean is the person who kind of brought us all together from all over the country and Canada. And here's Sean.
Thank you, Rana. So I am in the Dominican Republic a couple of weeks ago. This is the perfect place to learn how to surf, which I've wanted to do for a really long time. And I book four lessons with a local teacher because this stuff, the surfing stuff, is not easy. And then I see her among all these surfers, this girl, cute, tiny, maybe 5 years old, on a surfboard that's like three times her size. And she is shredding. She's like a dolphin. And she's got these big, pink, puffy marshmallow things on her arms. And I think this surfing thing cannot be that hard. And so I take my lesson that day. I take several more that week. And I learn the basics from my teacher. You got to find the wave, you got to catch the wave, but mostly you got to stand up on the board. That is what surfing is. And I manage over that week to actually stand up on that surfboard a few times for a few moments. Now, I am not a dolphin, more like a giraffe, like a baby giraffe. A baby giraffe that's just been born. That's more like me. Look, almost every time I try to do this, I don't stand up. I can't. It's not easy. Now it's my final day there, and I'm going solo. No teacher, just me, the sun and the sand and the salt, all of it. And I'm in that water for 3 hours, no luck. I forget the basics. I just want to get up on my own one time before I leave. And there she is, the pink puffy marshmallow girl, little dolphin, just shredding, just surfing. And a few moments later, I find the wave, I catch a wave, and I stand. And I actually stand for more than a few seconds, not much more, but a middle-aged, bald baby giraffe. And I am shredding. And this is not so hard after all. Well, okay, I'm not shredding, but I have stopped wondering where to get my own pair of those pink puffy marshmallows. Boom. Thanks.
And do you wear them now?
Symbolically, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's great. Oh, to be a kid again and starting to learn all over, but some
Woo!
people are amazing.
Hard.
I've never been very balanced myself, so I don't know if giraffe would even be a description.
I guess that's an actual fair representation or visualization of what it's like.
Oh, yes, and
The,
visualization.
I mean, because it's just a tough thing to do, but awesome experience.
And I've watched a bunch of videos of baby giraffes getting up because it's just wonderful to watch them. Okay. Would you like to introduce our next storyteller?
I would absolutely love to. Our next storyteller is joining us from Northern California. She's a lovely human being who I have now known for several years, and her name is Neshama Franklin.
Oh, Sean, you always warm the cockles of my heart and stimulate me to tell stories. That's what it's all about. So now let me tell you mine. I have a very old friend who's a writer. Now, I love words and I like to talk, but I hate to write. And so you could say for maybe 50 years, we have been collaborating as follows. We'll go on field trips. She said, well, what do you see? What do you hear? What's it like? And I'll talk and she'll take my words and she'll weave them into her own exquisite writing. And I give them to her freely because then I don't have to write them down. Now, she also will text me early in the morning and say, Neshama, look out your window and what do you see? Which is a great boon because I'm so much in my head that I seldom look out at the beautiful scene in front of me, the lagoon, the ridge. And this was a stormy morning. So I texted her and I said, well, the clouds are hugging the top of the ridge and sifting into the declivities in the ridge, kind of making friends with it. But the trees, oh, you should see those limbs. They are waving. They are bowing. And that was it. And then she texted me back and she said, well, what's the word? You know, when a ballerina does that beautiful sweeping gesture. And I thought, and then I texted her back. I said, there isn't an actual word for it, but there is something called port de bras, which means carry the arm. And I know this because I have danced ballet not very well. My feet are stiff, my legs are short, but I love music so much that it enables me to dance the ballet. And at that moment, when I pulled out these words for my friend, it was like two parts of my life just came together so deliciously.
Thank you. And I love the way you use the word delicious. That really evokes a strong feeling about how you felt about bringing those words together. That's wonderful.
I use it all the time. My daughter and grandchildren just go like this. They don't like those luscious words coming out of Granny's mouth.
I can attest to that. Just want to add, Mary, if I may, that one of the storytellers had mentioned the swap shop, which is loosely what we call this group. And having known Neshama now, for several years, indeed, words like delicious come out of her mouth fairly often.
And that sounds because, to me.
because life is delicious to me. There you have it.
There it is.
That is wonderful. And I want to remind our audience that Neshama was one of my guests, and she lives in a wonderful dream farmhouse in Marin County. And I want to live like, I want to be Neshama when I get older.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short break from story listening for station identification. We are a community-based storytelling radio show broadcast on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston Community Radio, and anywhere on the internet as kpft.org HD1. Our show, So What's Your Story, is broadcast every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. But, as you will hear, you can listen to the show after it has been aired. Yes, just visit our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, at houstonstorytellers.org, where you can replay any of our previous shows from So What's Your Story by selecting the Radio Show tab. Want to become a storyteller? Join the Houston Storytellers Guild and attend their monthly story swap on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Check out their calendar tab at houstonstorytellers.org and grab the Zoom information for the next virtual swap. I see the next one up will be on March 26th, and the theme is leap, since this is a leap year. Block out the dates on your June calendar for the Texas Storytelling Association Conference in Houston. It will be held June 21st to 23rd. The theme will be context, culture, and connection. Updates will be posted at their website, texasstorytelling.com. And here in Texas, we are enriched with storytellers. The San Antonio Storyteller Association sponsors a monthly story night on the first Wednesday of the month. It's held at 7 p.m. Central Time and can be found online at their YouTube live channel, San Antonio Storytellers. Now, don't forget the Moth in Houston. They have a story slam the second Tuesday of the month. And the next one will be April 9th at their new venue, Warehouse Live Midtown at 2600 Travis Street. It starts at 7:30 p.m. The theme is green. Check out themoth.org live storytelling events and their Facebook page, The Moth in Houston, for updates on their event and how to buy tickets. I am very excited to tell you that the March Story Slam winner was Chris Gorman. If any of you have been following me since I started on this radio show, my very first guests on the show were Chris Gorman and Harwood Taylor. And now, let's get back to the 99ers. Let's see who's up next. So, Neshama, would you please introduce our next storyteller?
Yes. He gave me a very simple introduction of his own, which is Absolute Andrew Shelfo, who happens to be a storyteller from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Neshama. We yell car when we're playing our games in the street and a car comes. Then we move out of the way until the car passes. Sometimes if we know the person driving, we boo them to let them know we're mad that they interrupted our game. But our parents have drilled into us, stay away from dangerous cars. We don't want to get run over. So we never play close to this end of the street, near where it connects to an even busier street. Who is this kid? What happened? I came out of my house and I went to West End Road to play like I do every day. And I saw police cars and an ambulance and they're all at the dangerous end of the street. And my friends and I, we walk over to see what was going on. I'm 9 years old and I'm looking at a dead body. And there's a lot I don't understand. The body belongs, or is it belonged, to a kid about my age, but I've never seen him before. And now here he is, or was. He's in my neighborhood. He's got long hair that makes him look like a girl. And he's kind of kneeling in the street with his head on the pavement and his butt in the air, the way that babies sometimes sleep. But the pool of blood tells me he's not sleeping. His butt crack is showing, which one of my friends laughs at. The police are here, but they're not doing much. They're just talking softly to each other and not paying attention to us or the boy on the pavement. He's on the dangerous end of the street. Is that what getting hit by a car looks like? Doesn't he know the cars are dangerous? A few months later, I asked my mother what happened to the boy's family. They moved away, she says. Not they moved to Michigan or Seattle. They moved away. And that kind of makes sense. But there's still a lot I don't understand. Boom.
I'm not sure we even understand death as we get older.
It's still a lot we don't understand, right?
Yes. You know, I'm a physician and I did a year of internal medicine before I switched to pathology. So I've seen death from the approaching it. And then from the trying to understand it afterwards. And I try to think, what is the human body? What is life? And what is it when life leaves us? And I still don't completely understand that. I don't know if anybody does.
No, I don't know if anybody does. And certainly when I was 9 years old, I had no real conception of what that was like in front of me.
Yes, that's a... I'm sorry for you to have witnessed that and for your family. And I understand that they moved away is something that happens to many families who've lost a child.
Yep, unfortunately.
Yes. Would you like to introduce our next 99er?
Of course. It is my pleasure to introduce my good friend Corey May from the great state of Iowa.
Thank you, Andrew. Dad, I don't understand this. That's Xavier, my now 17-year-old son who is a senior in high school. He's 6'6", he plays football. Everything generally comes easily to him. But he's stumped. He's stumped by Shakespeare. Now, I gotta tell you, being able to help Xavier with homework now is almost impossible. I was able to help him when he was an elementary school student, and then he reached seventh grade, and he and I began to concur that I didn't know anything. And we've come back around, and it's Shakespeare, and I studied Shakespeare in college and took a couple courses in high school. So here's my advice. Xavier, take the book, open it up, read it out loud, walk around with it. The more you say it, the more it gets into you, the more you are able to understand it, it will make sense. He looks at me. He walks upstairs with that confident stride that I've seen so many times. I hear his footsteps, and then he goes into his room. For 45 minutes, I hear absolutely nothing. And then I hear those confident footsteps walk across the floor above me, come down the stairs. He looks me dead in the eye, and I know my son has got it. Father, he says, he's got this. Father, yes, thou art.
Boom. Oh, gosh. I am the Elizabeth Taylor of my family. I've been married twice, and my first husband was an English literature scholar of Renaissance and pre-Renaissance literature. And he told me that Shakespeare could not resist inserting a double entendre dirty joke.
Absolutely true.
Okay, it's going to take me just a moment to recover from that. All right, Corey, thank you so much. And would you please introduce our next guest?
Our next storyteller is in Queens. That would be Tracy Starrett. Tracy.
So, Tracy. I think Corey just introduced you, and I wonder if you can tell us your 99-second story.
I would love to. Thank you so much. On a crisp autumn day, with a bright blue sky and leaves crunching underfoot, and he says, "You think the universe is out to get me?" No, I say, without breaking stride. A few quiet seconds later. But seriously, sometimes, don't you think the universe is out to get me? I stop, I turn to him. No, I say, that isn't real. I look in his eyes for the person who I know is there, but who I can't find right now behind the cold gray stare. He takes me by the arm, and we start to walk. Careful, he says, the sidewalk is broken up here, and he leads me past the treacherous path. I'm vision impaired, and he helps me, because my eyes don't work very well. And I'm helping him, because right now, his mind isn't working very well. We're not always sure of our footing, but we always have each other to lean on. Herb, he says, and I take a step down. A few seconds later, Herb, he says again, and I take a step up onto the sidewalk. He takes a deep breath. It looks like we have a bumpy road ahead. It's okay, I said. We'll make the through. And we walk on.
That is lovely.
Thank you.
I just see the two of y'all holding hands and making it on ahead.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I grew up in a family that didn't understand mental illness. And would speak of another person as saying, oh, I think she's making that up to get attention. And when I experienced it through my rotation through psychiatry, I thought, this is mind-opening as to what our minds can do and become. And I really support efforts to increase mental illness awareness. And I think your story does that for us.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you so much. And thank you for going through such efforts to get me to be able to tell it.
That's all right. Storytellers stick together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready to introduce our next storyteller?
I would love to. Our next storyteller is the fantastic Joanne Peltier from Montreal, Canada.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Hey, Mary. Ready to go?
Ready to go. Tracy, I'm going to hang up so that we don't have this. I'm hung up. Yes, please.
After years of training as a boxer, I feel like I need a change of pace, something more chill. I try hot yoga. Now, it's going okay, except that I'm distracted in class by the sight of a massive cockroach moving across the floor. Now, boxing has never scared me, but bugs freak me out, and this roach is messing with my zen. It's there in every single class, and the thing is, no one else in the class seems to notice it. Now, I don't know the yoga world, so I wonder, is this bug some kind of zen roach master? Like nobody told me this. And also, logically, I know that roach ain't alone. I speak to the owner. I say, like, hey, and she says, yeah, you just need to breathe more and be with it. And I'm like, sure, but no. I offer to kill the roach. I can work the hit into a yoga pose, subtle but effective. She says, please, no, don't, namaste. That would send the wrong message. Look, it's my zen or that roach. We cannot coexist. That night in class, the roach approaches my mat, and while I am in downward dog, I reach for my yoga block and I slam down, hitting the target. I leave the yoga block up, revealing the carcass of that dead roach. Change of pace? Sure, but yeah, I'm sending a message.
Boom. Boom.
Yeah. Hey, cockroaches are, they're
can't do it. can't do it. So it's a hard no. Yeah.
Don't move to Texas.
I'm staying north. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember two girls, young women in college who shared a room down the hall from me, and they're telling this story. One of them says she opened up her eyes and she saw a cockroach crawling across her pillow. And she wakes up and yells out, Jesus. And the other roommate wakes up and says, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've never seen another one at the yoga studio. So I think the message was well placed for the rest of the roach community, maybe, you know?
Good point. Maybe I'd use a yoga block next time I see one. They inhabit my composter outside. So I've decided that that's a decoy and let that stay their warm food place.
Yeah.
And just don't come inside the house.
Well, apparently they'll inherit the earth. So, but not in my yoga class, that's for sure.
And then I might suggest there is a Japanese movie called Twilight of the Roaches.
Hmm.
And it's about, you know, the roach community that will inherit the earth, but it begins to uncover the prejudices within that roach community of the rich roaches who live inside this guy's apartment and have taken over and have all his food. and the poor hungry roaches who come inside from time to time and are polluting the rich roaches' society, to use a term used someone recently. So
I might not be ready for that, Mary. I don't know.
Probably not.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. It's fun to hang out with this lovely group and you today.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. This has been a pleasure. I know I've met some of you before. I know I've attended 99 Grand Slam, and that was great. Sean, I want to thank you for helping arrange this, really arranging this, and Joanne and Sean. And Sean, in my thank you, do you want have any parting comments you want to make? Things up with 99ers?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking that. First, thank you very much. This has been a delight to share it with you and my friends and the swappers, the 99ers. They go by several names. Everyone here, and by the way, there is a handful of us that are not here for various reasons. They had commitments, so I want to acknowledge them as well. There's a few others out there. You know who you are. All of us are rather active in the storytelling community, particularly the personal narrative story community, teachers, event producers, storytellers, obviously. So I just want to acknowledge that. And, you know, if there are people out there that hear these stories and want to get in touch and perhaps connect that way, I encourage that. Interestingly, some of us are actually meeting for a live storytelling show. Not the first time, but we have one in late March, and we're going to Tucson, Arizona. To our friend Mary Jo. She's one of the swappers who are not here to do a storytelling show. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you happen to hear this and you're in Tucson or greater Tucson, come check it out. That will be fun. And the final thing is a little shameless self-promotion, if I may. Grit True Stories That Matter has a podcast called That Name, which has been on hold for a little while, but I think it's pretty cool if you want to hear some of this stuff. And I will include a link somewhere. The best way right now, because I've got some website issues, and don't get me started on that, but there's a Facebook group, and the group's technically called Personal Narrative Story Group by Grit. The Facebook link is something slightly different. So if you want to go there, I share that mainly because we will soon be having another 99-second story slam, either later this month or in early March. And I would love for anyone who hears this to attend as either a storyteller or just to watch. And when you watch, you don't just watch, but as Mary, you might recall from the Grand Slam, you also get to vote on your favorite stories. So it is really a lot of fun. So thanks again. I really appreciate it. Really do.
Yes, I will be there. It really is a lot of fun. And it's very hard to decide who to vote on. So Neshama,
yeah, I want to sneak something in here. You heard a couple of booms at the end of the story. I mean, I know Sean has given his final pitch, but Sean, you want to talk about how boom arose, and then we can end on a boom?
That sounds
great. I don't know if I have an answer. So for some reason, when this all started, I don't know if it was me, frankly, or somebody else, we just started saying boom to signify, one, that the story was over, particularly if it's like an event and people are voting. You want them to make sure. Now, you tell a good story, you don't need anything else, of course, for us to know that the story's over. But it just stuck, Mary. The boom stuck. And me, and I should add, there's a woman named Mary in Massachusetts, who's my co-host. We call her Queen Mary. You probably saw her and heard her at the last Grand Slam. And I don't know if it was her or me or somebody, to answer your question, Neshama, that boom happened at the end of the story and it stuck, and it's just become almost, what would you say, a delicious ritual of sorts for 99ers to end their stories with the big old boom.
Literal punctuation.
Literal.
Yes. All right. That's great. I do remember the first time I heard that boom when I was listening to the 99ers Grand Slam. I was like, whoa. But it's a big exclamation point or a boom point. It's not an exclamation point. It's its own. It's a boom point at the end.
It's a boom point.
I like it. And thank you all for using it and sharing it with us. So I thank you again very much. We'll be on listening to the 99ers. And Sean, do you happen to know what the date of that Tucson?
I am conferring with my co-host, Queen Mary Daba, and that will be probably, so the answer is no, but it's probably the 28th of this month or that following Sunday. I usually do them Sunday evening, so I don't, am I?
Yeah, she's asking about the show in Tucson, which I believe is March 28th.
I apologize.
Oh.
March 28th is in Tucson, and that's the answer to that question. And the 99 will be before that at some point.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking on Facebook for the 99 and March 28th. I'll have to see if that's a weekend. Who knows?
Once again, I'd
get there to meet all of y'all.
That would be great.
All right. Well, everybody, Happy New Year. Happy Lunar New Year.
Have you?
I'm going to go out to eat Asian food. And that's what it's called. It's not called Chinese food because it's a mix of everything. Asian food in Nebraska. So I have a little trepidation, but I hope it would be delicious.
Asian food in Nebraska. Talk about a boom moment.
That's exactly right. I never eat Mexican food here. Someone one time, and he says, and it was one of my Uber drivers, and he was from Southern California, and he said, definitely don't. Someone told him about a great Mexican food place.
Really?
Enchiladas with flour tortillas and Velveeta cheese. And I'm like, done, crossed off.
Got it.
So, but I'll have to see how this Asian restaurant goes. Okay. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Happy New Year. And I'll be advertising and letting Sean know to let y'all know when the show will be aired, which I think will be the last Wednesday of February.
Perfect, Mary. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thanks all. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks, Mary. Bye.
Bye. See y'all.
Take care. Bye.
And all of the 99ers for sharing their 99-second stories with us. Tonight, along with Sean, we heard from Sharon Eisner, Richard Munchkin, Ronna Levy, Neshama Franklin, Andrew Shelfo, Corey May, Tracy Sterren, and Johan Pelletier. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining me to create this show and for sharing your stories with us. By telling such evocative, delicious stories in 99 seconds, you all have truly proven the power of storytelling to take us on a journey to faraway lands in space and time. And in just 99 seconds, literally whirlwind us out of that faraway space and time to the present. It's all about the story. Now, just because our show is ending is no reason to leave. Stay tuned into KPFT because next up is Living Art with Michael Woodson and Michael Carson, a community art program that hosts artists from around Houston, including poets, writers, performance artists, visual artists, car artists, and others engaging in educating, promoting, and advancing art and artists in our Gulf Coast region. Which reminds me, the Art Car Parade is coming up. Okay, it's time to just chill. Make Houston's community station, KPFT 90.1, a part of every day. And while you're driving home or just hanging out, join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for So What's Your Story? It's a great way to make the hour go by. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This is Mary Edgerton, and along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that even if a story doesn't end the way you want, remember, it's the journey and not the destination. It's all about the story, right? Peace.